Hi, it's David Collins, and once again, another episode of FitNote. And if you are wondering why I had to actually audio verbally simulate our normal intro theme tune, the answer is because I am currently on location, yes, that's right, at the Dublin Gamecraft, November 2012. So, you might be wondering, what is a Gamecraft? Well, it's a game jam, and if you want to know what a game jam is, let's start right at the beginning. You see, there was once a guy called Scott McCloud, who was a comic artist, and a very famous one, but let's leave that question for later on. Essentially, one day he was speaking with his friend, Steve Bassett, and they were saying, Scott was saying, you know, we can draw comics a lot faster than this, but we need something to push ourselves. I mean, we draw great art, but it takes us ages to draw it. So, between them, they came up with a 24-hour comic. And the idea was that in 24 hours, they would draw a 24-page comic. Most pages, of course, consisting of at least two panels. And therefore, they went away at it. And it was just, they had to make up every single thing in the 12 hours. Plot, script, dialogue, art, everything. They had to literally start off with a blank canvas and in that 24 hours just do everything they could to make it done. As we know, through the magic of deadlines, it turned out to be a great success because people really did have to focus. Instead of being perfectionist or worrying or dealing with things that didn't matter, everything was hell-bent on getting the comic done in that 24 hours. But of course, it was a great idea and it went on. Many people did their own. Even one guy called Ryan Estrada even did a 148-hour comic. And so, but of course, it was too good an idea just to stick with comics. People did 24-hour movies, people did other things, and of course, soon enough, we had game jams. A game jam is pretty much the same idea. It doesn't have to be 24 hours. It can be 1 hour, 2 hours, 24 hours, a week, a month. The point is, you've got a specific set of time, and you have to make sure that within that time, you do absolutely everything you can to come up with, develop, design, test, and complete your video game. It is obviously a huge challenge, and right in front of me, I am seeing a warehouse of people. We are at the engine yard. I am walking across floorboards. Right above me, I see the arch of the roof, the top peak of that roof covered with skylight, and essentially a large room full of game developers. Huge bunch of makeshift tables and chairs. Everyone setting up their computer installation. Everyone getting ready to, in the next short period of time, develop a game in exactly 12 hours. It is currently 8:45. At 9 o'clock, the 12 hours will begin. Everyone will just have to go pell-mell in order to develop whatever they can, come up with, develop. And by 9 p.m. this evening, they'll be complete and have to throw up whatever they have ready for judging and hopefully win a prize and everything. But of course, they are prizes, but the challenge, the sense of accomplishment of having completed an entire game, that's something else. It's especially tricky since game development can often take ages to develop on your own, easily months, even with large teams. So, dear viewers, this is David Collins, and as your on-location assistant, I will be not just interviewing and observing, but I will be participating in the game jam. I have managed to get myself in with a team, with two other programmers and one animator, and I aim to give you a blow-by-blow account of this day as it happens. This is David Collins with BitNote. Hope you enjoy. All right, right now I am here with Dave McCabe. Dave, can you tell us how you're involved with the Gamecraft?
I am one of the organizers and I am the chief judge of the event.
Brilliant. So I've just described it. What do you think is the strength of the Gamecraft?
Well, there's loads of them, let's be honest. It's brilliant. It brings together people who are both students and in the industry to get together and knock out a game in 12 hours. It's really easy to participate because there's no kind of entry level. You bring along your gear, it doesn't matter what skill level you're at. We'll find you a team, we stick you in. It also happens inside of one day, so it doesn't matter if people want to travel to it, which we often have people coming over from the UK and from Northern Ireland, from the rest of the country. It means that you don't have to worry about like the overheads of... Well, if you're coming from the UK, you probably do, but a lot of people are able to come and then go away back home at the same day, so you know it makes it much more accessible than something's going on for an entire weekend or so on.
That's brilliant. And how did you get involved with the Gamecraft?
I know Andrew for years, and himself and Andre are two people set up, so I just... Happy. Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Essentially, I know the guys for a long time, so that's how... Okay, I'm going to have to come back to this in a bit, if that's okay. It's just...
That's fine.
Thank you. Not this one weird ideas. Weird ideas are good.
We could make a multi-track drifting game. That'd be awesome.
How does multi-track even work?
Look it up.
Wait, do you mean like drifting as in when the cars are constantly on their side when they're going around corners?
No, multi-track drifting is where you get a train.
Oh, multi-track drift.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so we get ready for the event. We've made an inventory, and we have 2 bottles of Lipton iced tea, 1 packet of roasted peanuts, 1 of jellies, a box of bananas, and some chocolate-coated digestive biscuits. Surely this shall be enough to bring us through the entire event. Here's the theme.
For those that have food work this year we're going to give you a color and an image, and you can interpret those as best you can. And make a game based off that. So if, for example, we show you the colour blue in the picture of an elephant, you can make a game about a blue elephant, or a game about sorrow and the ivory trade. Whatever you think of those images, go forth and multiply games. So today's colour is, how appropriate? Blue. I know you can see it. You all know blue looks like. The colour is blue. And Abby.
Look for
and image number 4, please. There you go, that's your image for today.
There's a silhouette of a bird on a tree branch.
Interpret this. Baboon! 9:25, start coding!
Hey!
It's now about 11:05. We had a bit of a late start, so about an hour and a half has passed by. But our team is currently working on trying to get the whole game working. We've decided on the game, we've decided on a theme that it's a train. We've decided it's going to involve a train going along tracks, and then the front parts of the train gets moved onto different tracks, so it slides along, and there are all these sorts of bonuses. And right now we're trying to actually get something rendered properly on the screen, and me and the other programmer have set up 2 completely separate things to try to tackle the problem from different directions and see which one works the best. And meanwhile, that the art is going along fantastically by our artists. With the progress on the game started, I managed to talk to the organisers of the entire GameCraft event. So
I'm Nathan Keeley. Like, I'm helping Dave organise the GameCraft, and I'm studying game development in Pulse. And like being here, like I want to like learn off other people who are like developing games for that will give me like an insight to help me in the future for when I start building my own games and begin my career in game development.
And yourself?
Hi, my name is Daniel Conlon. I got involved in GameCraft when one of the teachers from my school brought it up. I was highly interested in participating. So I contacted him about it, and he said it was okay.
Contacted Dave, yeah.
Yeah, I contacted Dave.
Yeah.
And now I'm here, helping Dave.
I can see a lot of heavy.
I'm Vicky Lee. I'm one of the original co-organisers. This whole thing started off because I just so happened to get interested in getting together groups for people like-minded and like games, and aside from all the tech events that I normally organise, and a girl called Andrea, also known as Round Crisis or Silver Spoon, whichever username she is, she came up to me and said, "Would I like to do GameCraft?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And then we just pulled together lots of people, and Dave and Andrew and everyone came along as well, and here we are, and we're on our second one, yes.
And, of course, Dave, who I spoke to earlier. Yeah, Dave.
Hello.
Dave, right?
Yes. Andrea and Vicky put the whole thing together, and I can't remember at what stage. I think Andrea was looking for someone to help out in terms of judging and stuff last time, so I said I'd come along and play a few video games for the day, and sort of ended up helping to keep the whole thing together while the guys actually worked on some game stuff and now got a bit more involved in it. And here we are doing it again.
Vicky, how did you decide to do a GameCraft?
About last year, around September, October, I was thinking, oh man, I would love to do some sort of a Irish Game Developers Conference, something that's not consumer-based or not about retro history of gaming. And I just want to do something where people can come along and make games or learn about making games. And I was just talking to so many people, and then Andrea, basically, the do person, come along, "Let's just do this." I say, "Okay, I'm scared." I'm really scared of Andreas, so I said yes. No, it was something I've been thinking of a lot, and I just needed, again, as Dave said, you know, you need a few people, need a couple of people to start off something, and someone willing to join in crazy ideas, and why not? And we just did it and see how it went. The first one went really well, and so we decided, we lost so much feedback about wanting a second one, so here's a second one. And we just announced that we're going to have another one in Gamesplash. So we're just hoping that we won't have, that Dublin Gamecraft is not the only Gamecraft. We hope that lots of different Gamecrafts will spring around Ireland. We're going to be calling it Dublin Gamecraft, but the Gamecraft logo, people notice it's just Gamecraft, and it's quite general. So if anyone else who wants to organise a Gamecraft all around, you can ask us questions and ask us for logos, and we'll help you. For me, I like to bring community and certain things or certain interests together.
I mean, I have to say, as I was in the last Gamecraft, it's great. I mean, I'm just looking at this great big room, and it's like full of people all at the computers and desks and just chatting, and there's a lot of collaboration, like meeting new people. So, I mean, there's a great ethos. I mean.
That's what we're trying to be, very inclusive, even though we do have tickets and we had to have a huge waiting list, but the event is free and we don't charge. That's why we try to get a lot of sponsors and help cover the food, and we help with the tables and chairs and prizes. So we're very, very grateful for all the help we can get and all the volunteers who help out on the day.
It's very useful for a lot of people. I mean, it's not just about, like, you know, programming. A lot of them gain valuable experience. They meet up with a lot of people. And I even know of this the startup company that really, games company, that got their start when the two guys, you know, kept doing a lot of game jams like this one. And when one of them won an award, they felt they had enough confidence to go ahead.
I think the two companies formed from the last one, didn't they?
We will have to find out.
I think I heard someone say something like that. We also wanted to make certain that we weren't just focusing on coding, because game design is a much bigger thing with game designers and with writers and music and animation and stuff. That there's a lot of different kind of skills there that I don't think get as much
recognition,
yeah, and as many platforms kind of, again, meet other people in the industry and sort of make those contacts and stuff.
I definitely agree. I mean, you know, there are a lot of online events about a lot of things, but there's absolutely nothing quite compares to just meeting people in real life, just talking, discussing, chatting face to face. I mean, I managed to end up working with the same person I worked on the Gamecraft last year, so it's great how these things work out.
How did you do last time?
Good.
Can you press a button and it just opens a little window up there?
Yeah, I think
so. That's class.
You're going to look brave. Sorry.
No. Anyway, sorry, yeah.
To reiterate.
To your listeners, they've got little windows and there's a little button you press and it opens them, and I'm really easily impressed and you can't see it, but you're missing out.
Our team ended up making this story about a dinosaur who must meet his girlfriend's family, who are all humans, and try to win them over.
I was talking about that last night. That was one of my favourite games from last year.
Really?
Brilliant. Everything else was just dinosaurs running from asteroids. But, like, that was cool. I love that one. I love the guys over there. Our high hopes for a team that you can't see, I'm pointing at them. But, They did a great game last year about just like this really upset dinosaur who had to go do all these crappy jobs at McDonald's and stuff in order to be able to afford cash to go and go to fun fairs and stuff to cheer himself up. And it was a really fun game.
But that's the whole point of Gamecraft. You're trying to think outside the box and not go like exactly the same.
Cliche.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we did come up with the theme in the first one, it didn't really help.
Dinosaur Angst was a great team. Screw everyone.
All I could think of was emo T-Rexes, and there were a lot of emo T-Rexes.
Exactly, well, that's not historically accurate. I have a lot of fun coming up with the different themes that we're going to do.
Okay, well, it's honestly great that you're putting this together. I mean, I just see everyone here, everyone's got their own story, their own making things, and you're completely right. A lot of crazy, great ideas come out of this. A lot of them are fun. Some of them could even be worked into something else, but others are great just experience. And I suppose, sorry I can't talk to Andrea here, but thank you very much. And anything else you want to add?
No.
No.
Great. Thanks. As I look at the game in front, I've decided to focus right now on interviewing the guy right beside me instead of actually approaching the problem.
Hey.
So, Daniel, right?
Yes.
Right now, we're both programming on this game together.
We are.
And also, here we have Gary. Gary.
Hello there. How are you?
So, you're an animator. You're doing the art. Well, I mean, I should know. I'm working with you.
Yes. Well, I'm in an animation course in my last year now, but I've always liked games, so trying out to work in that as well.
And we were working together last year.
Yes, we were indeed. On the last game, we were Dinosaur Dating Sim.
I was actually just talking with David McCabe. He was talking about that game last night. He felt like last year it was all about dinosaurs escaping from meteors. So the fact that we had an idea of a dinosaur who must try to win over his girlfriend's family, and you know, he liked it.
It was a pretty original idea, all right.
And hopefully we'll be able to produce something. I think we've got a good one here. The idea we have is somewhat based on an image from this manga, that's Japanese comic, that ended up getting online and tended to be very popular. It's basically got called Multi-Track Drifting, if you want to look it up online. But essentially, it just, like I said, shows a train with front part of it on one set of tracks and the back part on another set of tracks. So, Multi-Track Drifting. But right now, we've got more stuff to code and draw and art. And yes, it's time to hit the tracks. Things seem a bit relaxed now. We're about 2.5 hours in. I think it's time that I went around and tried to see how everyone was doing, pretty much. So I'm here with another two developers. You guys are?
Jason Hussett.
And Darren McNeely.
So with game theme being blue and the image being a silhouette of a bird on a tree, what have you guys come up with?
Okay, so we have a blue bird, okay?
Yeah.
Who hasn't got legs because some tree loggers took them away from him.
Okay.
He also wears a purple top hat.
Okay.
So essentially he is sitting on wheels, but at the moment his wheel has fallen off.
Okay.
Fix that.
Yeah.
That's grand. So the idea is that basically he's trying to save other birds who are going to be in these trees.
And
the loggers are going to be cutting the trees down. And he has to try and fight the loggers off. So it's a bird, giant blue bird fighting off loggers. And when his health goes down, any of the birds that have fallen out of the tree, he can eat to restore his health. So it's a bit weird as well. Yeah.
Okay.
It's an endless cycle. Of saving and killing other animals.
Yeah, it's a pretty weird, violent cannibalism type game.
Okay. I see a bluebird on top of a carriage wheel. I see trees scrolling by in the background. You can move them left and right. And now I suddenly see what looks like a barn.
It's a barn / log cabin. That's where the people will scroll from.
Well, best of luck with your bluebird cannibalist.
Pigeon cannibalist. That could be our team then.
Pigeon cannibalist. I wish you the best of luck. Okay, so that was an interesting game, and there are far more developers here. Here we are with
Shane O'Brien.
Shane O'Brien. Yeah. And so let's see what you've got so far.
Ignore all the errors, and basically
we always ignore the errors, especially this early on.
You're a bird. Trying to keep altitude and you're flying along, and you're trying to make it from tree to tree. Each tree you gain energy by eating bird feed and so on, and you have to avoid obstacles like flies and whatever else, and you try to shake them off and
I'm seeing a 3D landscape. It looks like a snowscape, but I think that's just because the landscape is white. And I'm seeing a few 3D trees around the place, and he is flying by using the controls. It seems to be a first-person bird perspective.
It's kind of a side-scroller at the moment. It's okay.
There's an object.
It's hard to see because everything's white at the moment. Kind of a side-scroller at the moment, the objective is basically, by the end of the day, I hope to have something like a bulldozer knocking the trees over, chasing the bird.
Okay.
And then he's going to have feelings, and you know, basically depending on how fast you're going, he'll be confident, and you know, if he's close to the bulldozers that are catching up to him, he'll feel threatened or...
Okay, that's great.
So on like that.
So fly from tree to tree, side-scrolling 3D.
Basically.
Thanks. One thing I noticed, you're doing something a bit interesting. You're live streaming this at the moment.
Yeah.
So basically, live streaming is when someone sets up a program on their computer so that absolutely everything they do on the computer is automatically streamed in video format to the internet. so people can. This has been fairly popular in some development circles. They're like professional programmers, and they say, you know, I'm making this game, but you don't have to just hear updates on Twitter or anything. You can see my computer screen as I code it.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just it saves time for me having to type into Twitter. And
okay, best of luck, Shane.
Thank you.
Well, that's pretty good. We're here with another three-person team. So, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Kieran.
I'm Sean, the leader.
And I'm Niall.
And so, what are you working on at the moment?
A DOS game.
A DOS game. That's like the operating system. That's awesome. DOS games were very popular in the early 90s. What sort of game is it?
Sort of Pac-Man style. We've taken the theme as monochrome. So basically, we're having a monochrome character collect all the colors so that he can become colored.
Great. So a black and white character just trying to get more colors of the spectrum. That's pretty neat.
Yep.
What do you have? Do you have something to show so far? Or?
No, not really.
Just kind of brainstorming the ideas at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Best of luck with your game. Anyway.
Thanks.
Up to now, as I've said before, everyone's just crowded around, like, you know, laptops or other computers or whatever, developing it. But someone caught my eye. They don't have any computer on their table. They've just basically got this big sheet of paper, all these bits, markers and stuff, making a game. But it looks like a board game as opposed to a computer game, which is awesome. So so tell us a bit about it.
My name is Owen, and
I'm Charlene.
Okay.
I'm from Bitsmith Games. I'm really interested in game design, and I'm really into board games, and sometimes I feel that computers and Unity and coding and asset creation and 3D Studio Max and Photoshop kind of get in the way of the bit that I like the most about making games. So myself and Char play a lot of board games together, and we decided that that's what we were going to do. That's what we were going to play around with today.
I see what you're doing. You're taking Scrabble tiles, turning them on their back and colouring them different colours, and then in the meantime you've got this surface that you're able to draw and marker all the different lines. So tell us a bit about the game you're developing.
Well, I mean, it's still being developed, but it's a combination of a cooperative and competitive game where you play as a small flower garden, mm-hmm. and you're trying to vie for the attention of the various creatures that are in the ecosystem. Bees, ants, beetles, hummingbirds, and cross-pollinate your plants with those of your opponents. At the same time, trying to fend off predators and environmental hazards.
So you play as a garden.
Yes.
Your objective is to make your garden grow.
Yeah.
And you do this by attracting as many of the right sort of insects as possible while trying to get rid of any sort of thing that might damage your garden.
Yes, but you have to work with other players because you can't... You need the pollen from the other players' gardens to make your garden grow, and they need pollen from your garden. So we're trying to build in a kind of a...
It's a terror between helping others and helping yourself.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, it sounds like a lot of people can have a lot of fun with a game like that.
I hope so, and I think if it's fun on the board, then it doesn't always have to stay a board game. It can always be a board game, or we can turn it into something else.
I think it was called Ticket to Ride is a very good example of a game that was a very successful board game and then went on to be a very successful video game.
Yeah, it's excellent.
I never played it on the board. Actually, I didn't even know they turned it into a video game.
But most of the games on my iPad would be board games.
Okay.
I think it's my favorite thing to play on them.
Well, there is nothing quite like sitting down with a group of friends and just having a board game and just seeing their reaction and
absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I actually kind of envy you. We're the one people here that aren't looking at a computer screen for most of the day.
I look at a computer screen every day in work, so on my weekend, it's more fun to be dealing with more tactile stuff.
Best of luck. You were saying, oh, the windows are magically opening.
It's magical.
Yes. And so development is paused while we look at the sky roof windows, which are at the very peak of this room,
to open.
So, it's now about 12:30 and things are going well. Daniel and I have managed to use an online cloud storage thing to keep our source files synchronized. Generally, that's when you're collaboratively programming. You're meant to use this really technical thing called source control to deal with stuff like this, but, you know, we're kind of in a bit of a race now. We don't really have time to mess around with SVN commands, so this will do us fine for now. So... It is getting on in the day, and right now we're dealing with food, my friend, food. There is food. I see sandwiches. I am just so thankful for all the great organizers for organizing this great event, and I am now going to eat. Definitely looks good. Got all sorts of sandwiches. Earlier on, they gave us a nice bit of junk, some soft drinks and like a few crisps and stuff. And we've even got a bunch of, even got some nice fruit and everything. So fruit, you know, the suggestion that you should eat healthy, which I fully endorse, if I don't always follow. Yeah. The day is getting on. It's now past 1 p.m. and I noticed that someone is making music for the game. Often, like, as what happens in so many games, professional or thing, or anyway, music tends to get left till the end. And these guys aren't just like taking music from a website. They guys got an entire keyboard set up right in front of you. So, for start, who are you?
I'm Donald O'Donoghue. I'm with the Dublin JS team. Jose and Cormac here are kind of our expert JS programmers, so I do a bit of JS myself, but I just thought they're just so strong in it, I should just focus on another area. So I'm just going to give music a try. So I'm really just getting started here. I have an old keyboard here. It's very big and conspicuous. I have GarageBand, which just comes free with any Mac, and it's fairly professional. You can hook it up as a MIDI keyboard and just use all the sounds that are with GarageBand, and the software is fairly intuitive. You just play the thing, the notes come up on the screen, and you can adjust the notes if you played a wrong note. And it's just enough to get you started. If you wanted to move on to something like Logic, you can, but just to get started, this is just a free, simple way to get started.
You guys are the other members of Team JS.
That's right, yeah. We're Cormac there, so I'm the edge as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what are you working on? I'm sorry, do you mind me asking?
No, don't mind asking. What are we calling it? It's the game's kind of about a crazed Emily Dickinson.
A crazed Emily Dickinson. Well, hope is a little feathered thing with wings.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Spot on. So we need to collect enough feathers to keep Emily Dickinson from freaking out.
So
that's kind of the backstory behind the game.
So you have to collect enough feathers to keep Emily Dickinson with hope.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is genius.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Owen.
Yep, thank you.
Cheers, thank you. It's now about 20 past 2 and the Art Assets has been made pretty well and we're doing very well. But I am right now dealing with a key core programming concept, and all I can say is if you're in school, learn your maths. And you, if you're in school and you want to do games, learn your maths. Right now I had to delve into an early bit of trigonometry, and now I'm delving into a whole thing about how to get about lines and circles intersect. So trust me, this stuff does have its uses, especially in video games. Fortunately, with the internet, you can look this stuff up, but nothing beats just understanding it from the get-go. So that's what I'm just trying to do now. Relive my school years. Great. The fun places that video game developments bring you. Well, it's 6 hours in.
Combine our coding efforts with this one.
Hey, David McCabe, what do you think of the jam so far?
So far, so good, yeah. A lot of fun. Some interesting looking games. Some people, I think, a bit further on than others, but that's always the way. We hit the halfway mark, give or take, now. So we'll see what happens next.
See what happens next, indeed. While I did hope to have the entire game jam recorded for one episode, it turns out that I recorded so much information that I decided the best thing to do would be to split it up into two episodes. So thank you for listening to part one of the GameCraft Dublin November 2012, and stay tuned for the next episode next week that'll give the riveting conclusion. Will the game get finished in time? Will I be able to tackle the great maths problem? What about all of those other people who I interviewed and game concepts I heard about? Will any of them win a prize? Find out the possible answer to this question next show. And remember, you can keep track of BitNote both on Twitter at BitNoteFM and also on the DublinSouthFM.ie website, where you can listen to previous BitNote episodes. Just want to say before I sign off that it's not spoiling anything by saying that I had a great time at the GameCraft. It was such an experience, I really applied myself, and great thanks goes to the organisers for setting everything up, the sponsors for doing their part, and also everyone else who was there for making it just such a great thing to be part of. So, this has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.